听力课堂，听 class.com。
Hi friends, welcome to Studio Classroom Worldwide. My name is Steve. Thanks for joining us today. Have you ever gone to a museum, looked at a piece of art, and said to yourself, I just don't get it? Well, art is sometimes difficult to appreciate, isn't it? That's why we've given this lesson the title, The Art of Appreciating Art. In other words, enjoying art requires a certain skill. It takes patient study, and it takes an ability to look at something from a different perspective, literally. Today, we're going to give you a very brief biography of a woman named Mona Lisa. Let's turn to page 16 and begin the reading under the number 4.
The Art of Appreciating Art. The Mona Lisa. Take, for example, the most famous painting in the world, the Mona Lisa in the Louvre in Paris. People from all over the world throng to see her, take her picture, and move on. Knowing more about her can help people appreciate her more. Painted over 4 years by Leonardo da Vinci, beginning in 1502, she is thought to be Lisa Gherardini, a businessman's wife. To paint her, da Vinci used the sfumato technique, a time-consuming method that requires the artist to layer tiny dots of associated colors.
Hi, friends, and welcome. I'm Chelsea.
And I'm Chip, and thanks for joining us for our article on the art, or the special skill or ability, of appreciating art. So we've been talking about fully enjoying, or fully respecting, fully appreciating artwork. Yesterday, we talked about some things that you can do before you go visit and before you go and see some works of art. So you can do your homework and study some of the background of some of these artists and some of the paintings.
And today we're going to be looking at a specific painting. You've probably heard of it. It's very famous. It's called the Mona Lisa. And the Mona Lisa is an oil painting from the 16th century, and we'll be talking much more about it today. So let's start off with this most famous painting in the world. Chip, this, they say, is the most famous painting, the most well-known in the entire world.
Right, and I think that's pretty easy to believe, because it is probably, it's just a very classic, famous painting that pretty much everybody knows about. And we actually have a picture of that painting on page 16 in your magazines. And the Mona Lisa is the most famous painting in the world.
And it's located in a very famous museum called the Louvre. Now, this word is interesting. Most Americans just say it Louvre, even though there's an R in there. We don't really pronounce it, although I believe you can also say it Louvre and kind of make it two syllables. So both are correct, but the main thing to know is that this is a very, very famous museum, and this is the home of the Mona Lisa. It's located in Paris, France.
Okay, and our article goes on to say that people from all over the world throng to see her. Now, if people are thronging to to see this painting or to see the Mona Lisa, then they are moving in large groups and they're coming with excitement to see this painting. We often might say the word flock. So people are flocking or thronging to see this painting.
And when they get there to finally see the Mona Lisa, our text says that they take her picture and they move on. So I guess you are able to take a picture of the Mona Lisa. I know at a lot of museums you're not allowed to take photos, but it sounds like in this case you can actually take her picture.
Right. They make an exception for the most famous painting in the world. So now, actually, yesterday we talked about the fact that you don't really want to just go take a picture and rush away, because that's not a very good way of fully appreciating the artwork. So our article says that knowing more about her, about the Mona Lisa, can help people appreciate her more.
So let's learn more about her. Now, the Mona Lisa was painted over 4 years by Leonardo da Vinci. I can't imagine doing any one thing for 4 years, but Leonardo da Vinci did this painting over the course of 4 years. And you've probably heard the name Leonardo da Vinci before. He's a very, very famous man of this time period, talented in many, many different areas, painting only being one of them. And of course, he has produced the world's most famous painting. He started painting it all the way back in 1502.
Okay, and we're not totally sure who the original subject of the painting was, but some people think that she is thought to be Lisa Gherardini, or possibly Gherardini, who was a businessman's wife.
So there's a little bit of mystery behind this painting because nobody is exactly for sure who the subject was, although this is the most common theory. So to paint her, Da Vinci used the sfumato technique, which is a very special and time-consuming method.
Okay, and if something is time-consuming, that means that it's requiring a lot of time to complete. And if you're a student in school or even at a university or college, you know that doing research papers is a very time-consuming task. It takes a lot of time.
So this sfumato technique that Leonardo da Vinci used was very time-consuming, and it required the artist to layer tiny dots of associated colors. Now, that word associated there just means similar or connected colors, colors that would blend well together, I'm sure. And so you can just imagine this took him 4 years to complete. You can imagine that it has so much detail. He worked so hard on it. It was so time consuming. But again, it turned out to be the most famous painting in the world. I think we could call it a masterpiece.
Oh, I think it's certainly a masterpiece. Truly a work of excellent art, a work of excellence. Well, this sfumato technique sounds very time-consuming, as it's full of lots of little dots. That seems like it would take a lot of time. Well, Ruth is here again to tell us a little bit more about appreciating art. Then after that, we'll take a break and we'll be back.
Hello, everyone. I'm your teacher, Ruth, again, and we're talking more about appreciating art. Those of you who know me know I love to travel. I like to go new places and see new things. Europe is one of my favorite places to travel because I can see so much great art there. I remember one trip I went to the city of St. Petersburg in Russia. Now, there's a very famous museum there called the Hermitage, which is full of beautiful paintings and furniture and sculptures. It's kind of overwhelming. Well, before I went to the museum, I was about to walk in the door, and there was a young lady there, and she said to me, "Would you like a tour of the museum?" And I thought, "What? A tour of the museum? You just look like a person off the street." But she was a student there in St. Petersburg. She knew a lot about art. She wanted a chance to practice her English, like many of you do, and she wanted to share about some of the things she knew about in the museum. So I said, okay, and we agreed on a price. I would pay her a little bit, and she accompanied me then through the museum and pointed out different paintings and sculptures and told me about them, about some of the materials and the techniques and the stories behind them. And that made the museum much more interesting. And the same thing happened to me when I visited Madrid in Spain at a museum called the Prado. Same thing. People were there willing to give a private tour of the museum. So I would encourage you when you travel to take advantage of opportunities like that. It will help you understand and appreciate the art a lot more. And besides, you'll make a new friend. So I encourage you to do that and just have an interesting experience.
Welcome back from the break, everyone. Doing a little art homework is a good way to appreciate not just paintings, but music, literature, and drama as well. Okay, so now we know more about the Mona Lisa. Hopefully the next time you see her in a picture or in Paris, if you're fortunate enough to go, you'll be able to look at her with a new appreciation. Before this lesson ends, there are a few more things to learn about the mysterious painting Mona Lisa. So let's get back to the reading, which we'll pick up on line 2.
The Art of Appreciating Art. The finished work gives the appearance of having no lines. And then there is her smile. In the 1500s, women in portraits were not to smile widely nor look too serious. The mysterious smile of the Mona Lisa suits the culture perfectly, and it makes people wonder what she is smiling about. Eugène Delacroix, a 19th century French painter, declared, "A picture is nothing but a bridge between the soul of the artist and that of the spectator." We should take time to cross that bridge.
Welcome back. Just before the break, we were talking about the very time-consuming sfumato technique that Leonardo da Vinci used to create the Mona Lisa. And all of his hard work paid off because the finished work gives the appearance of actually having no lines. That's pretty impressive.
That really is, because usually in a painting you have lines that form the shape of the subject or the thing that is being painted. But here, this sfumato technique gives the appearance of having no lines because basically, it's a bunch of dots of associated colors.
I think I'm starting to understand why it took him 4 years to complete. I do think the most interesting part is still coming up, though, because now we're going to consider her smile. The next part of our text says, and then there is her smile. In the 1500s, women in portraits were not to smile widely, nor to look too serious. Now, this is very unusual because today when we take pictures or we have paintings, people enjoy smiling.
Right. We always say cheese, so that you have a very wide, friendly smile. But here, at this time and place in history, women were not supposed to look too serious on one hand and not look too happy or too overjoyed on the other hand with too big of a smile. So actually, the Mona Lisa's smile is perfect for this time and place in history.
Yes, our text goes on to say that the mysterious smile of the Mona Lisa suits the culture perfectly. Now, if something is mysterious, that means it is unknown, it is strange, or maybe it is not perfectly understood. For example, if Chip is standing here next to me 1 minute and then he disappears, I might say, "How mysterious. Chip was just here a moment ago, and now he's gone."
Right. Maybe I would use my magic to disappear. And actually, I guess magicians and people who use magic do a lot of mysterious things. Well, our article goes on to say that it makes people wonder what she is smiling about. So part of the mysteriousness, or part of the mystery of this Mona Lisa's smile, is what exactly is she smiling about?
It makes me wonder what she's smiling about, but we do know that this smile suits the culture perfectly. And that word suits there means it fits the culture appropriately. So this is very interesting. It's mysterious. It's a little extra detail that Leonardo da Vinci added into his painting. So this goes to prove that it is a good idea to do your homework before you visit a museum with lots of fine art, especially if it's going to be art that is very, very famous and well known. You should be educated about that.
Right. And I never would have known, if it weren't for this article, I never would have known that women at this time were not supposed to smile too widely or look too serious. So just knowing that little bit about the culture, the time and place in history when this work of art was created, that really helps my experience of appreciating and engaging with the artist and with the artwork.
Now, this whole article finishes up with a unique quote by a man named Eugène Delacroix. And Eugène Delacroix was a 19th century French painter himself, and he declared his quote. Now, Chip, if you declare something, what are you doing?
Well, you are announcing it, or you are stating it very clearly, and usually when you declare something, you are stating it very publicly. So you are announcing it so that many people can hear what it is that you're saying.
Okay, so let's read this quote that Eugène Delacroix declared. He said, "A picture is nothing but a bridge between the soul of the artist and that of a spectator, or of the spectator." Now, this is an interesting way to say things, I think.
It really is. And to think of a picture as a bridge. Now, usually when we're talking about a bridge, we're talking about a way from one place to another. Okay? Or it's the way of connecting two places, or connecting from one place to another. So here, we're connecting from ourselves to the soul of the artist.
So in this case, we would be the spectators. The people who go to these museums to look at the art become the spectators. And a spectator is a person who watches something, an activity, without taking part in it. Maybe like a sports spectator. But in this case, people are looking at this beautiful fine art, and the artist is declaring some sort of a message with that art, and that art connects the artist to the spectator, the person who is looking at it. So make sure you do your homework when you go to visit an art museum.
Right, and this quote makes it sound like we can take our soul and connect with the soul of the artist simply by fully appreciating this artwork, or by fully appreciating art. And we should take time to cross that bridge, our article says. Well, that's all we have for today. I hope you've learned some things about how to appreciate art and the art of appreciating art. Before we go, let's visit the chat room.
Ashley, did you just take a picture of me?
No. Okay. Yes, I did. I'm collecting portraits for our website.
Oh, you're collecting portraits. I don't have any portraits, though.
Now you do. I just took a picture of you.
But you said you're collecting portraits. I thought a portrait was a drawing or painting of someone.
It is, but it's also a photograph. There are family portraits, self-portraits.
Wait a minute. When I think of a portrait, I think of the Mona Lisa. That's a painting of one person. But you're telling me you can take a picture of your family and call it a portrait?
Yes. And there are also films and books that paint a portrait of someone special.
Really? Do you mean biographies?
Well, a biography is limited to books, and it tells someone's life story. So they are similar in that way. But you could say that Michael Jackson's film, This Is It, paints a vivid portrait of Jackson's life in the final moments of his singing career.
But how can a film paint something?
What I mean is that the film shows us what Jackson's life was like. You know, you can also paint a picture with words.
Really? How so?
Well, I could describe something or someone to you in detail. For instance, this morning I went to the park and saw a beautiful bird.
You did? What color was it?
Oh, it was as red as a tomato, and it had one black stripe on its wing.
Wow, Ashley, I can almost picture that bird in my mind.
Well, yes, you can. That's because I painted a picture with my words. The more you go into detail, the more someone can visualize what you saw.
And the more interesting it is.
That's true. Now, Ken, if you don't mind, I'm going to put your portrait on our website.
Ah, yes, that's fine with me. Portrait 就是肖像或者肖像画，蒙娜丽莎就是一幅 portrait， 但是广义的讲 portrait 也可以指一个人或是一群人的相片，像 family portrait 就是一张全家福的照片。更广义的讲 portrait 可以指人物的描写，这种的 portrait 有可能是以电影或者书来呈现，一本关于某个人人物的书也可以叫做 biography 传记。好，我们下次见。
Hi everyone, I'm Michelle。 首先我们来看的是 throng 这个动词。 throng 是指蜂拥而至或者是群聚，如果要说明蜂拥而至去做什么，是用 throng to do something 这个片语。例如Thousands of fans thronged to watch Michael Jackson's film. 成千的歌迷蜂拥的要去看 Michael Jackson 的电影。Throng 也指挤满，例如 The small town was thronged with tourists during the weekends. 周末的时候这个小镇挤满了观光客。继续我们看的是 time consuming 这个形容词。Consuming 本来是 consume, C-O-N-S-U-M-E, 消耗这个动词的现在分词。把它连在一起 time consuming 就是指耗时的或费时的，例如 coaching a football team is a time consuming task， 训练一支足球队是很旷日费时的任务，或者是 collecting all the required data for the research is incredibly time consuming， 收集这个研究所需要的资料是无法想象的耗时费日。最后我们来看的是 declare 这个动词。Declare 是指宣告、宣布或表示。例如 The congressman declared his support for the proposal. 这位国会议员表示对这个提案的支持。或者是 He declared his innocence throughout his trial. 整个审判的过程中他都宣称自己是无辜的。或者是 The country had no other choice but to declare war on their enemy. 这个国家没有其他的选择，不得不向他们的敌人宣战。And it's time for us to say goodbye. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The Art of Appreciating Art. The Mona Lisa. Take, for example, the most famous painting in the world, the Mona Lisa in the Louvre in Paris. People from all over the world throng to see her. Take her picture and move on. Knowing more about her can help people appreciate her more. Painted over 4 years by Leonardo da Vinci, beginning in 1502, she is thought to be Lisa Gherardini, a businessman's wife. To paint her, da Vinci used the sfumato technique, a time-consuming method that requires the artist to layer tiny dots of associated colors. The finished work gives the appearance of having no lines. And then there is her smile. In the 1500s, women in portraits were not to smile widely nor look too serious. The mysterious smile of the Mona Lisa suits the culture perfectly. And it makes people wonder what she is smiling about. Eugène Delacroix, a 19th century French painter, declared, A picture is nothing but a bridge between the soul of the artist and that of the spectator. We should take time to cross that bridge.
Well, friends, even if it wasn't one of the world's most famous paintings, the history of the Mona Lisa in and of itself is enough to make the painting a fascinating museum exhibit. It's been stolen, it's had acid, rocks, and even teacups thrown at it, and once the Mona Lisa fell victim to a woman with a can of red spray paint. Now, despite these troubles and 500 years of wear, the Mona Lisa is still in relatively good shape. Friends, we have more art coming your way tomorrow in our Historical People feature. We hope you join us for that, and until then, have a great day!